Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
George Sedano, he can be heard every day on ESPN Los Angeles, and he can be seen all over ESPN, whether it's on the jump or around the horn or prowling the sidelines. He is joining us. We love talking hoops with him. George, if you had to pick one main storyline coming out of last night's NBA Finals victory by Milwaukee, is it the, as I've called it, the coronation of Giannis as extremely deserving of MVP and extremely deserving as being known as a guy that can lead a team to the finals?
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. This is about Giannis. And, you know, I tweeted this last night, is that I feel like in general, whether it's us or even fans, we need to all do a better job of letting people be themselves,
yes,
right? And just kind of enjoy their specific uniqueness and skill sets and whatnot, their strengths, even their flaws, right, to some extent. We spend way too much time talking about what people can't do and not enough time kind of marveling at their greatness and what they're capable of. And yes, Giannis is not a consistent jump shooter. Giannis is not a consistent free throw shooter. But Giannis is a force, kind of like Shaq was. And this is the comparison I keep making, and people push back on me. Yes, it's not an apples to apples because he's not, you know, he's not built like Shaquille O'Neal. But people forget Orlando Shaq was as bouncy as all hell. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I think that he kind of reminds me of that, where he does all his damage, or for the most part, does his damage in the paint. He's really a big man who plays a more perimeter style game. And he's unique that way. And I think that people don't know how to deal with that as far as just how to analyze, right, what he's capable of and what he's not capable of. And we spent a lot of time, you know, worrying about his shortcomings. And he proved everybody wrong. He made everybody eat it last night.
And, George, after the game, Giannis took a shot, in my mind, at super teams. He said he did it the hard way, is how kind of how he put it. Is this championship more prestigious or respected than even the Heat Big Three, the Heatles, or Golden State with KD, or if the Nets were to win one in the next couple of years? Does this mean more because of the way it was constructed and the way Giannis did it?
Well, look, I mean, I think to some people that'll be the case. Like, I don't look at it that way, because I can also poke holes in that and say, well, listen, you beat a Brooklyn team with Kevin Durant, you know, playing out of his mind, coming off an Achilles injury. James Harden, who was clearly not what he was capable of, and no Kyrie Irving, you know. When they were getting their doors blown off when it was just Kevin and Kyrie. So, you know, look, we could poke holes in that stuff. The Heat played, granted, the first one you could say, oh, they played a young OKC team. But beating the Spurs, listen, I don't care what anybody says. The Spurs are one of the greatest dynasties of in basketball history, okay? Particularly modern basketball history. What Miami had to endure to beat that team, that coach, arguably one of the greatest coaches of all time, nobody can take that away. And, you know, so while I understand Giannis's point, I'm not sitting here and saying that, you know, we can't poke holes in his argument too.
George Sedano is with us. What do you think happened with Phoenix? Too inexperienced. Chris Paul ran out of gas. Mike Budenholzer adjusted. Milwaukee perfectly after what he saw in games one and two? Like, what's the explanation for looking so good games one and two and then falling flat on your face for the next four?
I think you kind of nailed it. It's pretty much all of that. And what I would add is with Devin Booker specifically, and he's amazing, dude. We saw the ascension of a superstar there. But I think that what the superstars do as they get older is they realize they need to involve their teammates more. And going into that game, Tom Haberstroh had this number. Devin Booker in this series had 24 field goal attempts in the fourth quarter, zero assists. And ESPN has a stat that they track called assist opportunities, which basically a pass that you make that leads to a shot attempt. And in this series, and I don't know what the numbers were yesterday because I haven't looked it up, but heading into game six, the Suns were 1-4 when he had five or less opportunities, assist opportunities, where he's creating for other guys open looks. And that's part of the problem. Now, yesterday he didn't have a great game in general. He only scored 19 points or whatever it was. So I just think he was just not great at all yesterday by his standards to begin with. But they were moving the ball all over the place. They were getting guys involved. Jay Crowder was getting looks. Mikal Bridges was getting looks. DeAndre Ayton was getting looks. And they kind of went away from that a little bit, and they played into Milwaukee's hands somewhat. I don't really think Budenholzer adjusted all that much. He did make some subtle adjustments. But really it was Phoenix kind of falling in love with more isolation basketball. And Chris Paul kind of ran out of gas a little bit. Jrue Holiday did a fantastic job defending him of – the amount, I don't remember what the exact turnover amount was that Chris had in the series, but almost half of them were caused by Jrue Holiday.
And, George, speaking of CP3, if he wants a championship, I know he has, I believe it's $44 million on the table next year if he, you know, if he continues to play for the Suns and doesn't opt out or, you know, try to go anywhere else. Should he leave if he wants to win a ring? Because in my mind, you get a healthy Clippers, you get a healthy Lakers team back in the West. The Suns' window's closed. Am I incorrect on that?
I agree with you. I think that they're a nice young team. Like, they're one of these teams that's like a 4 or 5 seed that, you know, with a healthy group, right? A healthy Clippers, healthy Lakers. You know, we got to see what all these other teams are going to do to get better, right? Like, Dallas has $30 million to spend in free agency. There's, Utah is only going to get better. I think that, to your point, yeah, I think they come back to the pack. I think Milwaukee comes back to the pack a little bit. I think that they're a really good team, and perhaps this championship helps them understand what it takes to win, and they'll be, a strong out next year. But I still feel like Brooklyn is the team to beat if they're healthy next season in the East. And, yeah, one of the L.A. teams out West. So, yeah, I'm with you. If I'm CP3, I'm probably looking to link up with the Lakers. But here's the thing. For that to happen, a lot of things have to go right. The Lakers don't have cap space. By the way, the Clippers don't have cap space either. So there has to be sign and trades. It has to get pretty complicated to make that happen. Not to say that it's impossible, but it's not an easy solution is what I would say. And again, a lot of this depends on what he's looking at financially. If he opts out of $44 million, Crowder, he's going to want probably close to, you know, 30 a year for at least 2 or 3 years, right? Like, you're going to have to give him close to $100 million for 3 more years. Now, that may be the price of doing business if you're the Lakers or if you're the Clippers, because you kind of need that third guy if you're going to compete with a healthy Brooklyn team.
I have to bring it back to the Heat since we're in Miami. You watch the NBA playoffs, and you watch the Heat get swept by Milwaukee in the first round. And then you watch the remainder of the playoffs and then the finals. If you're looking at all this through the prism of the Miami Heat, George, what are you thinking?
The Heat need another scorer / ball handler, and they need a big man. I don't know how they go about getting those, but I think that they need someone else who can handle the rock and score. Simultaneously, right? Or not simultaneously, but you can do both skill sets. And they need someone to help Bam. I don't know who that person is. You know, is it John Collins? I don't know if I'd give John Collins a max contract if I'm the Heat. I'm sure they like him. He's a West Palm Beach kid, all that. Like, I get all that stuff. But I don't know if he's a max player. You know, I don't think Kawhi is actually going anywhere. If I'm the Heat, I am looking around at this Colin Sexton situation with Cleveland. It looks like he may be on the way out. You know, I'm looking at New Orleans' situation. I feel like there could be some opportunities there. I think that they're looking to kind of make some big moves because they feel like they're probably on the clock with Zion, right? So maybe someone like a Brandon Ingram becomes available. And you're talking about a two-time All-Star who's 23 or 24 years old. So, you know, and that puts you in a different category. Like, you've got a guy who can score, who can defend, who can pass. You know, maybe you go the veteran route with a Kyle Lowry in free agency. And you try to make some sort of sign-and-trade deal with Hero or Robinson or whatnot. Like, I don't know. I mean, they've got flexibility and maneuverability, Hawk. I just don't know what is coming next for them. I will say this. It's been fairly quiet in Miami. And historically, when that happens, something good happens after that. now, you know, I'm not saying that it happens every time that way, but generally speaking, when the Heat are tight-lipped, which is generally how they run their business, things end up working out for them more so than one would have expected.
But none of those options really do enough, do they? Right? Sexton, Lowry,
right? Like, Ingram, are you banking on Bam Adebayo? Are you banking on Bam Adebayo to get better? Like, I think he has to, right? Like, he has to get better. And I think that with Jimmy, I think he is what he is at this stage. You know, he's a formed player at 30 years old. He's a good scorer, can get to the free throw line, you know, and, you know, he's not a three-level scorer. He's more of a two-level scorer. So what you need around Jimmy and Bam are guys that can spread the floor and help them do their damage where they need to be. And, you know, with Bam, obviously, you know, they have that great game with him and Duncan Robinson, that dribble handoff. Teams got used to that already. They were able to scout that. It was a lot more difficult to pull that off. So, you know, I trust Spo to pull something else out of his bag to kind of surprise teams and get teams going. I just think, Hawk, to your point, yes, is that enough? I don't know. You know, I don't know. I think that if you look at the situation currently in the East, if you're the Heat, you have to land more than one player somehow. I don't know how you do that, how you pull that off, whether that's free agency and a trade, but you have to land at least two all-star caliber players on this roster. If you can do that, I do think you have the ability to compete even with Brooklyn, because again, the way you're going to beat Brooklyn is with depth, in my estimation, because they're too top heavy. And it's kind of like what we saw when Dallas beat Miami in the 2011 finals. Their depth eventually overwhelmed them. Yes, LeBron played poorly, but they also forced him to play poorly. I still feel like you can force Giannis, in this case, to play poorly. And I still think, even as talented as Brooklyn is, I don't know if I can trust them to stay healthy. You know, historically, I don't know if I can buy into that. If they are, they're a juggernaut. They're going to be hard to beat regardless of who their opponent is.
George Sedano from ESPN. Did you see Space Jam, by the way, the new one?
I did. I saw it with my 7-year-old daughter. She loved it. You know, it's a kid's movie. You know, there were a couple of lines, probably like a handful of lines that I laughed at because they either made fun of, the old Space Jam, or there was one line, spoiler alert, when LeBron is trying to build his new team, his Toon Squad or whatever, you know, he wanted superheroes, I guess, like Superman and Batman in the Warner Brothers universe or the DC universe. And Bugs Bunny says to him, "What do you think this is, the Miami Heat?" I thought that was a funny line. I thought it was a cute kids movie, for sure. My kid loved it, and that's really that was the whole goal of it.
So. You've seen, obviously, the original. How'd it compare to the MJ original?
I mean, the MJ original, I think it just sits differently with me because I think of it as, I don't know, I was young still then when that movie came out. That movie's a lot slower than this movie. This movie moves faster, and I think that that's just generally the direction we go because we have short attention spans now. And this one has way cool CGI graphics, right, and all the bells and whistles. You know, that one is kind of campy, you know what I mean, like the old one. But it's cool. And the soundtrack to the first one is amazing. Like, I think that That part of the equation is something we don't talk enough about. And, you know, Bill Murray was funny, although I do think Don Cheadle was like a perfect cartoon kid villain. Like, I thought he did a nice job, too. So I liked it. I mean, I liked it because my kid liked it. And that was all, you know, again, the whole goal of it.
So LeBron failed to reach Jordan again. That's all you had to say,
George. That's not what he said.
No, that's not what I said. Hey, listen, he knocked off Black Widow at the box office in week one. That's impressive, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. If you can knock off a Marvel movie, you're doing something, right?
Yeah.
George
right.
Sedano,
you know,
from
$32 million, you know?
Yeah, so, nothing to sneeze at.
You can buy a lot of croquetas for that.
It's not Crowder money, but it's something.
Crowder who? Jay Crowder.
Jay Crowder.
Let's go say.
George Sedano.
Come on, Crowder. I know you got those pennies hidden somewhere. Those bags somewhere. They're
it's
somewhere.
More than pennies, man. It's more than pennies.
Got it buried in the backyard, George. Nobody's going to find it.
I know. I that's what I feel like. Because we know you don't invest in cryptocurrencies because you can't touch it or feel it. So that's why Hawk is going to end up becoming like this like billionaire. He's going to end up buying teams in Miami in a couple of years.
Not if Ethereum doesn't make a little bit of a comeback sometime soon.
Hey, it's up 10% today, buddy.
There you go. George Sedano from ESPN. Thank you, George. Always enjoy talking hoops with you.
You got it, gentlemen. Be good. Take care.
There you go. George Sedano with a little NBA Finals breakdown.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.